The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Yeah, the conversation continues here this Friday morning. Mark Hutto joins me in studio. Mark Hutto raised an issue that he's seeing with, trespassing on some rural property that you and your wife ended up buying. And welcome to the show, Mark.
Always great having you on here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so it all started, I guess, a few months ago. How long have you owned this property up on the Dead Indian Plateau in that neighborhood?
So the trespass started back in 93 in the summer, okay? And we've owned the property since 2021.
2021.
Right.
Okay.
So this all started, we were inquiring, it's pretty complex, I don't want to get, you know, too off on tangents, but we originally wanted to clear the property to make it fire safe and log it selectively.
And this is a 40 acre, and it's zoned woodland resource.
Okay, that's correct. And so, you know, made a phone call or two to the county, and I really couldn't get answers. And for example, one of the questions I never got an answer to is, and we actually haven't even discussed this, was how can a church use this property? And they just said, we simply don't have a mechanism for that, or I don't know, which when you don't know and you're in the planning department, that's a denial. And so the federal law, the Religious Land Use Act, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to be able to guide someone through a process or just say, hey, we don't do that. But what we're seeing here is this denial of due process through nuance. I don't know. So if I don't know, I can't help you, right? So we began to build some less than 200 square feet temporary structures for logging purposes.
Because you wanted to log the 40 acres.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it was just overgrown, right? So it's a fire hazard to some extent. And the neighbor, the initial complaint started essentially, in my opinion, was an abusive process. The neighbor didn't want materials delivered to the easement, which I have an unrestricted easement. Okay, so I can have materials. There's plenty of case law supporting that you can have deliveries there. And so she told the county, well, I think there's people living back there. And so she created this.
So there is this is the magic open the door.
Open the door, right.
Yeah,
right.
This is kind of going back to a little bit to that conversation earlier about the snitching.
So yes.
In the state of Washington, with you call, tell on your neighbor, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Right? So we got a warning of a violation, I believe in July, end of July, early August that year. And so I went and looked on my trail cams, and I found a county code enforcement vehicle had trespassed on my property. And so I started looking up the laws, and there's a thing called field doctrine, where if they can see it from the road, they can come in, right?
But you're not
I'm seeable. So far away from the road. I'm down in a little valley, and you can't see it. You're 3/4 of a mile down a road that requires private access from the owner of that road as well, right? So you're in two properties deep now. And so you're on my property. My trail cam caught you. You're taking photos, right? Are you're gathering evidence based on this alleged complaint. Now, we did have, like any logging operation would have, you have a watch person, fire watch person, volunteer in our case, who was watching equipment as well, right? But there's no people living in these structures that we built the sheds, right? But this was the nuance of the complaint. I'm complaining about this delivery to my parcel. I don't want him. I want this guy out. You know, she already told me she likes to hike on the land, right? And so I'm going to make this complaint. And I'm going to do it in secret. And that's what they did. They did it in secret. So we did an information request. And you could tell who it was through the information request, right? That only one person shared that easement with me. So fast forward, you know, we're trying to comply. And so you send emails in to planning. And the reason I'm here is I think this happens to a lot of people because planning has a lot of power. And there's no one doing anything to check that power, okay? So when you call in, you it's really hard to get a straight answer. You ask a lot of direct questions, and you don't get direct answers. And
well, what's an example of you call Jackson County Planning, and I would imagine Josephine County Planning is probably not a lot different.
Right.
So very similar to, let's just say, you call the planning department, and you ask what?
Okay.
What do they say?
So in this case, we were suggested to get a temporary forest camp, a labor camp for forestry for the logging, right? And that would take care of these small auxiliary structure permits because that's part of the labor camp permit. And so you call and then we're also told to get a license with the state of Oregon, the permit for logging, particularly if you're going to sell anything to the mills, right? So just the process to get the permit for logging is actually very simple, but we couldn't get any assistance on how to do that. I finally went online, and someone said, just walk into the office and ask them. They'll give it to you. And so it's this type of thing. It's like, why do I have to go online to try to get this information when someone could have just said, walk in the office, get the permit, right?
At planning?
At planning, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so the permit from the Oregon Department of Forestry, and then you take that to planning and say, hey, we're logging. Now I need this labor camp permit, right?
Yeah.
And so then we apply for the labor camp permit finally because we were cited. We originally had 6 citations. They're all gone now. And you go in, you do what you're told to do, and then all of a sudden the permit is denied arbitrarily. Now, the reason it was denied, obviously, to us, we're looking at this going, there's 2 citations. They match each other, but one citation is fatal to the application. It destroys it. You can't get it because you have a home. And the other one is the same citation, but that one's not a home. It's just the citation copy they gave my wife. So it didn't make any sense. It's confusing, right?
Okay, now, and so once again, you had someone staying in a little travel trailer there.
An RV with wheels.
RV with wheels, okay.
Yeah.
Just monitoring, make sure... And not that we have any problem with meth head stealing equipment off of
right.
Off of land,
right.
You know, around here.
Correct.
But so they were just living there. And so neighbor is PO'd about that and then does a little secret snitch then
right.
to
so
Jackson
the,
County.
So the neighbors complain.
And then you're
right.
trying to comply then because
correct.
You can get a permit for the the RV being there under the guise of watching the equipment and
for sure. Yes, that's
and
right.
just monitoring, being a caretaker or
correct.
Monitoring. Of that.
Right.
All right. That sounds reasonable. So they tell you get a permit and
right.
then they deny the permit.
Then they deny the type 1 permit. Right?
Okay.
And here's the amazing thing. Somehow I have a home up there, they say, because they took a photo on the 16th of April, which this year, which was I've discovered most recently in September. That was their most recent trespass that I'm aware of. There could be more now. Right. Although I've been promised there won't be any more by the county attorney. They took a photo of this green shed, and there's a vehicle parked in front of this green shed, and they're claiming this is the evidence of a home, right? So then I'm told that I don't have this permanent homesite approval that I have back from 92.
But you have a copy of the permit.
Yeah, totally. I have the approval right here from 92, and it shows that anybody who started the process before December 13th, 1992, this was March 9th of 1992.
So this is all grandfathered in.
Yeah, it's right. grandfathered in, but we're okay. told we don't have this. And so this is like an intimidation tactic, it appears. Okay. So I did have several professionals confirm that I did have the permit because when I bought the property and we went through all this, we confirmed it was there, right? But what's really interesting is this has nothing to do with forest logging. You do not need a home on the property to be able to get a permit for a logging camp. If there's a shed there that they say is a tiny home, you can just remove it. Right?
Yeah.
Why go through the process of applying for a permit, which I would not be approved for today anyway on a 40-acre parcel in Woodland Resource, according to my research.
Yeah, all right. So they claimed it was a shed. What is it?
They claimed it was a tiny home. It's a shed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a shed.
So is a shed permitted?
I don't know
what's allowed or not.
Exactly. You know? So, and that was the purpose of the Type 1 review, right, to make all of these structures permitted for the use in forestry, correct?
Uh-huh.
And so then it was arbitrarily denied. I mean, the same day they said that they got the application, they denied it the same day. Now, if you're going to...
Okay, is someone just afraid that someone's going to do something productive on a piece of land around here?
I think what happens is that people get into positions and there's no accountability. There's no... For example, if someone tells you something that's factually incorrect, you have no one directly to appeal to. Directly above them. And so when you have a system like that, people do this. Remember the study where they let people have control over other people in this alleged inmate situation and they began, it just got out of control.
They started torturing them.
Yeah, yeah. College study. So it's a natural condition of any bureaucracy, right? For this type of abuse to start to happen. And so when it was denied, normally in a normal due process situation, you look for, well, how do I remedy this denial, right? What can I do? Well, you need to apply for a home site permit. Well, no, that's not correct. So what?
Well, they denied the...
The permit.
The
permit that I was told to get. Then they denied it using arbitrary methodology. And
how much do they charge for a fee?
It's $880 for the
five. Oh, okay. Maybe maybe that's the moneymaker for local county government. I don't know. I'm being sarcastic or cynical when I say this. We're not going to approve it, but let's charge them for this. You know, let's get as many people applying for stuff that we're not going to approve.
So this seems to be on the surface, it does seem like that, right? And then now you apply for a home site permit so you can get a type 1 logging permit. Which would be another fee for something that you don't need because I'm not going to build a home up there. I don't need to live up there, right?
Right.
And so there's just so much stuff. It gets crazy when you start to think about it. So now I'm being told to get something I don't need to get. And then I wasn't told of an appeal process, right? So someone says this to you, it's not correct. You don't have anyone you can check on. And most people are absolutely terrified of planning because it's your land and your land it's comparable to your life, right? People play with your land like it's nothing. But the reality is the Supreme Court disagrees with that idea that you can play with it through these administrative procedures. In 2019, they started allowing people to do direct lawsuits in federal court because of it, because they're like, your land is a very serious matter. You're denying people through nuance and passive statements use of their property. And that's a huge violation. And so, and that's why I'm here, because I don't think I'm the only guy that's going through this. I think there's a lot. So I would ask people randomly when I was standing in line, anybody having a problem with the county? And almost every time someone would say, yeah, I am. You know, I was at the doctor's office and I was doing, I was at one of the local clinics doing a treatment. There was a group of us in the room and I just asked the question and someone started telling me the problem they were having. So I think it's widespread. I think this level of abuse is widespread, and there's absolutely no system of appeal other than the Land Use Board of Appeals, which, by the way, they didn't tell me about when they denied it. I had to find that on my own and ask how to do it.
So is the assumption then, is this something systemic? Because I'm asking for your opinion here, Mark. Mark Hutto's with me this morning.
This is all opinion, right? I'm not an attorney.
Is this systemic based on this whole entire concept of state land use planning anyway, in the first place? And that this is just a spill down of the craps all coming up from LUBA,
right?
The LCDC and all the rest of it. It just kind of spills down and then just gushes out through our local planning.
I think there's
departments here.
I think there's some of that. So I do believe, just my suspicion, that obviously there's something, well, to me it seems obvious that there's something going on behind the scenes. But I don't think there's someone at the state level telling people to trespass on people's property and give them bad information at planning. Unless maybe this is the only way they can defeat legal land use, because I'm trying to legally use my property and I'm being thwarted by the procedures in the use of that property. And it's extremely stressful. When you see a code enforcement vehicle on camera on your property, you don't know when they're coming back. When they're arbitrarily using evidence against you just randomly because you're on your property, you're being cited, it's extremely stressful. I have been not at my property up until the county attorney said, hey, we're not going to trespass on there. He didn't use those words. He said, you don't have to worry that if they're going to come, they're going to get a warrant. Till he said that, my property was captured, because if people are just coming on your property, taking photos whenever they want, and then claiming it's whatever they want and citing you, you're in trouble. You've been denied the use of your property.
Okay. Now the pictures that you have with the, of the shed, let's talk about the one.
Okay. With the shed.
That you had. Was that an aerial photo?
No, that's the shed photo was taken from the ground level. There's no way you can get that from the air.
Because I know that the county was doing some aerial surveillance of the entire county a while back, kind of getting a better idea.
So that's your shed photo.
Oh, okay.
And see, there's a vehicle there. And so now because there's a vehicle there, that became a home.
Oh.
Yeah, because
Let me take a look at that. I hold it up at the Facebook Live. I don't know. It's a pretty nice-looking shed, though. Maybe they thought it just looked too nice of a shed because it does have...
It's 140 square feet, you know.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, though, honestly, Mark, when I take a look at that, I could see that being thought of as a tiny home.
Okay, so let's say you could look at that and go, hey, you know what? That could be a tiny home. Mm-hmm. Who lived there and when did they live there?
I mean, I can't answer that.
Exactly. And they can't answer that question either. And you have a right to have an answer to that question. If this is, in fact, a tiny home.
I don't know if you do have a right to an answer to that question in today's America with the administrative court that you're having to go through. This is all administrative. You know, it's not even a—
Correct.
You're not in an Article III constitutional court. This is something that that people who have gone to battle with the county, such as the late Kurt Chancellor, was dealing with. He says, I want my jury trial.
Right.
He's always talking about with land use.
Absolutely.
Is what he was doing.
So what needs to happen here is it needs to be continued to be appealed into the federal system. James O'Keefe says that about every lawsuit he files. He said, once I take you to court, I'm going to appeal and appeal, appeal until we're the Supreme Court.
Are you going to appeal with Jackson County, or are they leaving you alone at this point? What is the current status of this? You've got 40 acres. You bought 40 acres.
So they have removed the citations. I appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, and I asked the county attorney. I said, you're not really going to take this to the Land Use Board of Appeals and fight this. All they can do is remand. And he agreed that they were going to remand it. So he submitted.
And remanding means what?
It goes back to the county for the decision.
The people that screwed it up in the first place, it goes back to them again.
Correct.
Wonderful. Okay.
So here's the issue. Well, that's what the Land Use Board of Appeals does. So when you go there, that's the expectation. So that's not an abuse at all. That's the expectation. They can remand or reverse. That's all they can do. You can't ask them for damages or anything like that.
Okay.
That's just to get it back before the planner to bring them back to the table. Okay, so the citations are gone because they were unlawfully obtained. I will go back before. Well, I don't know if I'll get a chance to attend the hearing. However, you know, the problem is now they're going to change the criteria, which is also not legal. Mm-hmm. So they've hinted that they're going to change the criteria now for the approval, which they're not supposed to do. So now this is speculation at this point. I may have another hurdle to overcome with this type one review.
So what have you been able to do with this 40 acres that you bought? What have you been able to do so far, if anything?
Not really much. I go up and visit it a little bit, and I do.
So you go about it, and you think about your imaginary property that you technically own, but you can't do anything with.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've been promised they won't come without a warrant, but I also have someone who wants to hike on that property and wants to use it for their own use and has trespassed. I've got them on video trespassing as well, individuals. And apparently they can just make an accusation and this will create action on behalf of the county.
So are you thinking that the neighbor wants to use your place for a hiking?
Maybe. I mean, she said that in the past. It was a little creepy when I bought the place because she came out and she told me, she said, well, you know, all
this. It's a wonderful neighbor because it's like this neighbor owns their property and they think they own yours too.
Well, they used
it's
to.
Like
they,
everything about this.
Well, they used to use it for hiking. And the individual, when I bought the property, this is a little creepy. When I bought the property, and it was unnerving, they came out to meet me. And the property was already closed. We'd already bought it. And she said, you know, all of the men who bought this property have died early. They died young. Mm-hmm. And the last one died it was around my age at the time, 50.
Okay.
And she looked at me right in the eyes when she said that to me. And then she told me the story. And I said, well, I've already bought this property. She goes, oh, I wasn't sure if I should tell you that or not.
Uh-huh.
So that was totally told.
So you have neighbor. We have creepy neighbor problems along with code enforcement. Right. All right. So you haven't been able to log at this point or not?
Well, a little bit of selective logging, you know, the dead standing and things like that.
Okay.
And I do have the permit for logging. So in theory right now, I could log. But if I do, is there going to be another secret complaint? Because they've been dishonest in the process, you can't trust anything that's being said now. Right. Mm. So that's the problem you're dealing with. Once one says you don't have this permit that you do have, and they say, well, you've got a home on there and you don't, right? You've created a distrust now. And so now you have this abusive process that creates a distrust in your ability to say, well, is it really going to be like that now? Because I was cited, I had six citations based on.
How much of a fine were these citations?
So if you plead out, which I would not do. They're 500 each, and if you don't, then they're 1,000.
So that'd be another $3,000.
It's $6,000
or $6,000 for the county.
If you fight it at the administrative hearing, now my job was to do everything I could do not to attend that administrative hearing, and that included filing a case in federal court if I had to. But luckily, just taking it and to the Land Use Board of Appeals. The county attorney was wise enough, and he's a smart guy.
All right. Hang on just a second. I have a couple other questions before we take off. I noticed that Bob ended up writing me, listener Bob, and saying,
"Okay,
Bill, we are going through similar permitting issues with the county. I have a new term for it, bureau crazy."
Right. Well, you know how they always say, the video where they said our democracy, they changed it to our bureaucracy?
Our bureaucracy, yeah. Looks like that's happening here in Oregon, too. We'll be back with Mark Hutto, 770-5633. You have a question or comment. I don't know if anyone else has been dealing with something like this. It's kind of like heads you lose, tails they win, kind of thing. I don't know.
You have a right to accurate information, okay? And you have a right to ask questions and have those questions answered.
All right. I'll ask you a few more when we get back, okay?
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry. But daughters can build things, too.
$29 a month or Telluride to $29 a month during the holiday trade-up at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
20 before 9. This portion of the program, by the way, is also sponsored by Valley View Nursery, the only nursery here in Southern Oregon with online pricing. Go to valleyviewnursery.com, and they're closer than you think. Valleyviewnursery.com. I've been talking with Mark Hutto. Mark Hutto bought a parcel up on, he and his wife, Andrea, of course, the Jay Austin people here. And that's not the reason why you're here. I just thought it was an interesting story. But the fact that county code enforcement going after you, you have this 40 acres, and you wanted to log it. You had a little RV there, so a caretaker could
watch
person could watch it to make sure that nobody steals the stuff. Not that there's any kind of theft problem in rural lands here, Jackson and Josephine County. All right, and then so neighbor snitches, and it's kind of complaint driven. From what I understand, it
is complaint-driven, which is a great process, by the way. Okay. I have no qualms with the complaint-driven process. I think that's a really good process.
You're trying to comply, and it seems to be this Kafka-esque kind of, chasing your own tail.
They've made it very difficult to comply. And they've said things now that make you question, well, is that really how I can comply now? Because I already tried it, and it didn't work.
Yeah. My question is, though, did you try going to the county commission for help on this?
So I did not early enough. So that's one of the things that people should do is go to the county commissioners the moment this happens. But I did hear from other people who had tried, and they not the exact same extent of abuse, but one person was snitched on because they were running a school in a little tent, and the tent was fine until they discovered that people weren't vaccinated, and all of a sudden they got a notice, right? Oh. So this is the problem with the secret snitching program, because people cannot like you for your political affiliation, like if you have a Trump sign out in front of your house, mm-hmm. and then use something else that they weren't snitching about to snitch on you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it creates a problem of abusive process.
Yeah, I know that when I was looking at what you had sent to the county commission, I know why nobody answered you, because you had talked about a violation, and so you brought it into the realm of the county attorneys.
Well, so they do need to know that there is a liability there. I'm not going to pretend like there's not, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not going to go and start communicating with them under the guise that there's not. I'm not going to act like the guys with Trump's team, where they pretend like they're just there on casual business, and what they're really doing is gathering evidence. So I let them know, this is a notice of liability. You've broken the law here.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get a county commissioner
to help
you then.
Right. And that's why I'm not here to,
You're not bagging on the commissions.
And I didn't want to talk about this before the election, because the ultimate land grabber was running against Randy Sparacino.
The ultimate land grabber? Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's my opinion.
Okay. Of I was kind of left
the land grabber party.
all right. But I guess, what do you think that the land or the planning department is actually violating this? What laws do you think have been violated here?
So there's a lot, and I can't remember all of them, but I will recite what I can remember. There is.
Now, you and I both have law degrees.
So we clearly don't, and clearly this is opinion, right?
Okay.
And this is just based on my personal research, and it's not legal advice. But from what I could find, I found case law, which was very logical. You have a right to have procedural process which you understand. Okay.
So that's kind of going back to the Oregon state law that says that the laws need to be understood by Right. Understandable by the regular people.
And the process needs to be honest. They can't tell you need to get a permanent homesite approval when there's another remedy to fix the citations. They're not allowed to say, well, this will fix the citation, and it doesn't. And they're also not allowed to not, from my research, and this is the most common practice, is they don't tell you what to do. They just let you keep guessing, and then they eventually approve it, right?
And then, and if you're lucky enough to guess the right procedure.
Right, and that's not due process either.
Ah, okay.
That is not due process either. They're supposed to tell you what you need. The law is supposed to be clear enough where they're supposed to be able to tell you, and they have a duty to tell you, and they have a duty to be honest while they're telling you. So there's a violation there. Those are multiple violations.
All right.
Okay. And then there's the trespass. And then there's the equal protection under the law, under federal law.
All right.
Yeah. So you have multiple.
I'm on the line here you're on the line here with Mark Hutto. Hi, good morning, caller. Who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Bill, it's Brad here.
Hey Brad.
Hello?
Hey Brad, you're on with Mark Hutto. Go ahead.
Hello there.
Yeah. So Mark, I'm really sorry this happened to you. I actually serve as a Jackson County Planning Commissioner, and I'm not calling to either advocate for your situation or not.
Sure.
But I just want to give you the benefit of my experience with Oregon planning law, is that it's archaic, it's a pain in the neck. No other state has a land development land use law the way that Oregon does. It's horribly complicated and hard to understand.
Right, you shouldn't need an attorney to use your land, especially for a type one, right?
What was that now?
You shouldn't need an attorney to use your own land, especially for a type one review, right?
Well, you shouldn't. Yeah, type one is the simplest one. Normally, that's an over the counter deal. But I do want to say that the code enforcement part is complaint driven, and the threshold for a complaint is very low.
Yes.
And
very low.
Once that complaint has been registered, they have to investigate it.
Sure.
So what happened after that? I don't know the details, but it's been my experience, and I know all the planners there at the county. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody that has an axe to grind with anybody as far as, boy, we want to get this guy or that or that company.
Sure. I don't believe that's what's happening. I believe there's something else going on.
Yeah. But Mark, you are you strike me as a reasonable, honest person. And what I want to say is that you are unfortunately a poster child for how hard it is for normal, honest people like you to be able to use their land in certain circumstances. I'm sorry this has happened to you, but this is what the state of Oregon has done when it comes to people like you being able to use your land. And I'm so sorry this happened to you.
What would you suggest? I mean, not that you can advocate for anything like you had just mentioned, but, you know, where is the ability to address government for a redress of grievance here? What do you think?
Well, in our situation, we have a very good board of commissioners, and any of the three board of commissioners. Now, depending on various commissioners, depending on what their time of service is, they're the liaison to the planning department. And if they're having the head of our department is Ted Zook. Ted Zook is the head of that department. And then county commissioners that we currently have, it's Dave Dodder, Colleen Roberts, and Rick Dyer. One of them is the liaison to planning. And these are very high quality, involved, intelligent people. And I would, if I were going to give you any advice at all, I would say, go to the planning liaison on the board and try to work with them, and then you may end up working with Ted. What has happened to you is a bug. It's not a feature. You've got caught in sideways in this thing, and I think they would be, if they would be able to, I think they'd like to help you fix it.
So let me ask you this. Why can't someone answer a question about religious use of a land, like for church use? Why can't someone just say, hey, we're not going to let a church use that land, take a stand, or say, hey, this is what you need to do to get approved for that? Why can't I get that question answered?
So anytime you ask a question that's going to bear on an application, it has to go through channels. And the people, I would assume that you're dealing with somebody there at the line level. You're dealing with somebody there in planning that has your case, has your file number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So unless they have a script that they can really give you a direct answer from, they're probably going to up-channel that. There might be some time involved. But in your situation, it was complaint driven. And you're sounds like you're smart enough to know that other complaints may get, you know, registered as well. Every time they get a complaint, they have to investigate it.
So what's interesting about this case, though, I don't mean to cut you off, but so they just say they claim that there was just one complaint, and I can't find any evidence of any other communications. However, this person, the code enforcement officer, came onto the property this year on the 16th and took a photo of someone in front of the shed. That person had only been on the property for about 3 hours when that photo was taken. It had not been previously on the property for probably 6 months or more. It had not been on since the winter. I feel like there was a communication there that wasn't recorded in the information documents that I requested. Because what are the odds that that person was there for 3 hours, the photo was taken, and that person left a few hours later, not knowing that that code enforcement officer had been there? And at the same time, I was using my property in August, and I did not know there was a code enforcement officer there. And that person took a photo, and that person was 100 feet away from me by that photo, I can tell, on that date, and did not announce themselves. So these are problems that are outside the scope of the procedural issues that we're facing here. Does that make sense?
And this is where I would say I think you're in good shape if you reach out to the county commissioner who is the planning liaison, maybe have a sit down with them and county. So it sounds like you're dealing with Joel Benton.
No. So this is the problem. When you send an email to planning, frequently they don't sign it. Now the planner I'm dealing with. Is that who you're asking for right now?
Well, Joel Benton is county counsel.
Okay. No, I'm dealing with Peter Philbrick.
Okay. So he's staff. He's planning staff.
Okay. He's a bar member as well, though, right?
Okay. Yeah. This is something, you know, something. Brad, do you mind if I give Mark your number? So that way, maybe you can, because I think some of this is probably, you know, beyond the scope of probably what we're going to be able to take care of on the talk radio show here. But I'm glad he brought it forward, because I do have a feeling there is more people like this, Brad. You probably agree with me than just Mark. There's probably 100 Marks, you know.
Absolutely,
here.
Oregon planning law is just, it's so archaic and hard to understand. And the thing where Mark is he's obviously intelligent, engaged, and he's somebody who's going to have a plan. Most people just give up. So, I mean,
I don't give up. I'll go all the way.
Yeah, all right. Mark, I'm going to give you his number when we get done. Brad, thank you for checking in.
Thank you. You've
forgotten more about this land stuff than I'm ever going to know. And, I don't even know, right? We'll just kind of do that. I find it interesting. I think you're striking a nerve, though. I know Granny writes me this morning and about the process. She says, when I brought to the county planning department copies of their own documents issued to a neighbor and pictures showing the trespass on my property, their answer was I needed to get an attorney.
Yes, and so this is a common answer. I always tell the same thing, okay? You need to get an attorney. I'm going to represent myself pro se in court if this winds up in federal court. I'm not going to get an attorney because it's going to be very difficult to get an attorney to sue on your behalf for this, if you think about it.
Why is that?
Well, it's just like any trade. You know everybody here, right?
Oh, so yeah. Are you going to defecate in your own pond?
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to do that as an attorney. And you don't want to take a case like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
and I don't blame you for not wanting to.
It's like how many lawyers then decide to go after judges here for doing something wrong.
Right. And
almost like never.
And you can't blame them for not wanting to. You know, I have no animosity.
Yeah. And nor do they run against the judges too. But that's a conversation for another time.
It is.
Mark, thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you for having me, Bill. Something tells me
this is nothing. You know, we'll probably have we'll have more. More marks coming forward, but thank you for sharing, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
It is 8:53.
Joel here for Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I...
Hi, I'm Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service, and I'm on KMED.
You know, it's interesting. Mark Hutto ends up walking out, and things just start exploding. People are saying, hey, give Mark my number. Give Mark my number, too, and, you know, who knows? And like I said... there could be some skullduggery going on, and not everybody within the county department is going to be probably, you know, looking out for the landowner. They're just looking out for, okay, you know, how can we make someone's life miserable? Now, I don't think that's the majority of it, but there does seem to be an amazing amount of learned helplessness, I guess, we're having when it comes to land use planning around here. Guys, so frustrating. And, you know, when you talk about, you just want to get to the point where now I want it all gone, all of the state land use planning, all the rest of it. And people will call you crazy. And it's like, are we crazy? I don't think so. Anyway, it's 8:57, and we're going to break because Markley Van Camp and Robbins are coming up. And then, of course, 99.3, the jukebox. The jukebox music will be starting, too, at about 9:03, 9:04 or something like that. And I'm going to be out Monday, okay? But I'll be back on Tuesday, just taking one day off. Hugh will fill in for me. Email bill@billmeyershow.com if you have any other questions or comments. And we'll kick it all around again this coming Tuesday morning. Thanks so much.